Thank you for downloading the podcast of the Virginia Biotechnology Association. Today's guest is Dr. Magic Sasanowski, the founder and CEO of Inkagen, a bioinformatics company based in Williamsburg, Virginia. Inkagen provides software and professional services to scientists involved in pharmaceutical, agricultural, and biotechnology research. The company's products optimize the analysis, mining, and management of life science data. Dr. Sasanowski earned a PhD in computational plasma physics from the College of William & Mary. In 1996, he was appointed to establish the Bioinformatics Center at the Clemson University Genomics Institute. In 1998, Dr. Sasanowski founded Inkagen and eventually moved the company to Williamsburg, Virginia. This is Mark Herzog, the Executive Director of the Virginia Biotechnology Association, and I'm pleased to have with me Dr. Magic Sasanowski, the CEO of Inkagen, and also the chairman of the Virginia Biotech Association. Magic, it's great to have you with me today.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Magic, if we could start out by you telling us a little bit about your academic background and how you came to Virginia.
I'll be more than happy to do so, Mark. Well, as you can probably tell from my funny name, I grew up in Poland, and I didn't come over to the States until I was about 16 as an exchange student. And I went to school in Ohio and received my undergraduate degree there, and then went on to William & Mary in Virginia and received my graduate degree in physics. And at that point, when I was in graduate school, I was pretty sure that I wanted to continue my career in academia and wanted to do physics, but as you now know, things don't always work out the way that you plan. But I'd have to say I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now.
And how did you get into the biological side of things?
Well, right after my graduate degree, I had a faculty position at Clemson University, and I was actually teaching mathematics and physics. And about a year or so into my faculty appointment, I decided that I wanted to try something different. I wanted to get out of the physical sciences, and I've always been very attracted to life sciences, especially some of the biological research, and in particular the cancer research. There were a couple of events in my family and also in my friends that really wanted or made me want to get into oncology. And one day I just decided to walk to the biology department and talk to one of the molecular biology researchers, and I asked him if I could do some research in his lab, and I told him to just treat me like a graduate student or a technician because I wanted to learn the language, learn the tools, and he thought I was kind of weird.
Yeah, ask how he responded to that.
Yeah, but he said, sure, you know, why not? If a faculty member wants to be treated like a graduate student, he can certainly do that. So I spent about 9 months or so doing that, and about 9 months after I started, Clemson University received a grant from both the National Science Foundation and the Department of Energy to start a genomics institute. And at that point, they had their bases covered in terms of the biology faculty, but they knew that there would be pretty significant computational challenges, and they knew that they needed somebody to address them. And funny enough, they actually came over to the math science department where I had my appointment and started talking to the mathematical scientists and some of the computational scientists there. And I wasn't actually at that meeting because I was in the biology lab doing research. but I was told that it was a very interesting meeting because whenever the biologists started talking, the computational scientists just, you know, their eyes glazed over. They had no idea what they were talking about. And then when the computational scientists were talking about how they would address the problem, the biologists had no clue what they were talking about. And finally, somebody said, wait, you know, isn't Magic actually, doesn't he have a computational physics background, but he's now doing biology? And they said, oh, yeah, well, let's try looking for him. And they found me. They told me about the research institute and what their plans were. And it just sounded very exciting to build something from scratch.
That's phenomenal. And our listeners probably aren't going to be able to understand this, not having a chance to look at you, but
You must have been the youngest professor at Clemson University in the entire history. There's no other explanation for it.
Well, I don't know about the youngest, but yeah, I guess I sort of hurried through my academic career. I got my PhD, I think, when I was 22 or just turned 23. So it was fun, but you know, it gives me more more chance to play now.
All right, Magic. Well, at some point, even though you had a great academic career going, you decided to leave the university setting and start your own company in the private sector. That must have been quite a challenge, but you jumped in with both feet.
It started because I could see that there were just phenomenal computational challenges that were associated with the life science research, particularly the genomics research. At that point in the mid-90s, it was mostly DNA sequencing that was happening and some of the new DNA microarray technologies that were being developed. And I just thought that it was a tremendous opportunity to learn new things and to get into new fields and help provide tools to scientists that would really make a difference and help them do their research. So the company started around 90, I guess in 98, in the summer of 98. And initially we were working with some scientists who were doing agricultural research, and we were providing tools to help them with their analyses. And then later we had we started transitioning into more of the clinical research, cancer research, and now most recently we started working on some homeland defense projects. So we've been running the company for about 8 years now. I guess we're in our ninth year. I think one of our biggest biggest moments came in early 2001 when we received funding from the National Institute for Standards and Technology under their Advanced Technology Program. It really helped put us on the map. And at that point, we were still in South Carolina, and we had seriously started considering moving somewhere else. And we had looked at some of the biotechnology hotbeds like Boston or San Francisco or San Diego, the Research Triangle Park, and
Williamsburg.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. And yeah, and we ended up in the biotech hotbed to be Williamsburg, right? So now we had decided that that those areas were just it didn't make sense for us to be there. And in fact, we had asked our employees, at that point we were about 12 people, and the most important thing for them was that they wanted to live in a nice place where they could have a nice lifestyle and had access to many resources. So we had contacted people in Virginia, and particularly Williamsburg, because I had a history here, and my wife actually also had a history with William and Mary, and it was just a pleasure to work with the people from the Economic Development Department in Virginia and also at William and Mary. And the Center for Innovation Technology ended up giving William and Mary a grant to attract us under the Commonwealth Technology Research Fund. It brought us here. It allowed us to grow. It allowed us to transition and start some of the collaborations that we have now with Eastern Virginia Medical School and William and Mary and other institutions. And it's worked very well for us.
All right. So obviously, bioinformatics is the centerpiece of IncoGen. Could you tell us a little bit about the debate about bioinformatics? Is it an industry unto itself? Is it a tool used by the biotechnology and computational biology industries? How do you see the area that you specialize in?
You know, Mark, that's a really great question, and I think the purpose of bioinformatics has changed in the last decade. It's certainly true that it started out mostly as a tool, and when I was at the Clemson University Genomics Institute and we had the bioinformaticists working there, mostly to support the research that the biologists did. So it was very much a service-driven technology and service-driven enterprise. However, I think that over the last decade, that has changed quite a bit, and bioinformatics has become more and more of a hypothesis-driven science and an actual industry in itself. You've seen the rise of many bioinformatics degree programs, both at the undergraduate and graduate level, all over the country, really all over the world. In fact, one of the projects that we are currently involved with, that's funded by the National Science Foundation, is to develop a bioinformatics teaching tool, because we foresee the need for it being so great and only growing over the next few years. So the focus of bioinformatics has really shifted. And in fact, the future of bioinformatics is probably even more exciting, because rather than looking at individual domains in bioinformatics, such as sequence analysis or the analysis of microarrays or proteomics and mass spectrometry, the field is moving much more towards an integrative science and much more toward a collaborative science, where researchers just aren't able to perform the work all by themselves, locked up in their laboratories or even within their research groups. But people really have to reach out to others and try to combine their skill sets and really meld the technology and the expertise from many different domains to be able to address the complex problems that that exist right now.
All right, Magic, it's been great having you with us today. Any closing thoughts for our listeners?
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you too, Mark, and in terms of closing thoughts, follow your instincts, follow your passion. Don't wait for things to happen to you, and just make them happen.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Virginia Bioscience Podcast. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.vabio.org.